Good morning, Edmonton Avenue, and good morning to our friends tuning in on our live stream.
I'm Keith, and she's Tina, and we hope you were blessed by the music portion of our worship service. We are so glad to have you here with us this morning.
There is more coming, but we wanted to take a minute during this break to welcome you and let you know how you can get connected.
Hey, it's Family Worship Sunday.
That's right. Hey kids, we're so glad you're here with us this morning. Now remember, you have to sit really still and be very serious. Like this.
Whoa.
What?
They have their sermon survival kits. And they'll be just fine. Enough with the rules, ma'am.
Okay. Well, anyhow, whether you've been with us forever or this is your first time visiting, we wanted to let you know there is a place for you here at Evanston.
And while our ushers come up to take up our morning offering, Daniel is going to tell you how you can get connected. Have fun!
Hi, I'm Daniel, and I'm here in our new Connection Center where you can find your mailboxes and information about what's going on here in our church and in our community. Things like Hype and Bible Times Club. Hype meets upstairs Sunday nights at 6 with Miss Joy for grades 6 through 12th grade, and Bible Times Club meets downstairs at the same time with Mr. Darren, and it's for grades 5th and below. For our adults, we have things like our Bible studies and a fellowship dinner coming up April 29th. We also have room in our life groups. So you'll want to talk to Pastor Matt, Jeremy, or Jonathan to get connected with one of those. So come check out our new Connection Center, where you'll find information on something here for you.
So there's a lot going on at Evanston, and it can be easy to miss an event or activity.
The best way to stay in the loop is with our handy bulletin. It's filled with helpful information about our church.
Not only that, but it also has our handy connection card, which, sorry, my daughter drew on it. You can use that card to get in touch with us. Just fill it out and leave it on the pew when you head out, and one of our ushers will pick it up for you.
And for those of you who are more tech-oriented or watching from home, you can find even more information and a connection form on our website.
The website is the perfect place to find out what's going on at the church and to check out some of our really helpful resources.
You will find an archive of our past sermons and Sunday school lessons with the slides and downloads and everything.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
Well, it's almost time for Pastor Matt, but before that, we do have a few more things to share with you.
As we've mentioned before, the Bible Times Club Carnival is coming up soon, and this week is your last chance to bring in donations.
Kids, make sure you come out for the Bible Times Club Carnival.
And speaking of church events, don't forget after the service is our fellowship dinner. And if you or a member would like to know more about the inner workings of our church, please stick around for the quarterly business meeting.
Well, that should do it for announcements, so everyone can grab a pen and take out their Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, please feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you.
Now here's Pastor Matt continuing our series, The Owner's Manual, with his sermon.
Have fun, kids!
Sit still and behave.
Here's Pastor Matt. Fun.
Discipline. No.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll have some fun this morning as we study God's word. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. We're going to pray for our offering. And then, of course, we're going to spend some time in God's word. And young ones that are in the room, I'm going to need your help right off the bat, just so you know. Because, we have a quiz. Oh, don't worry. It's not that kind of quiz. But we'll get there. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you have blessed us with. We thank you for the many, many ways that you lavish your love upon us. And Father, as we return a small portion of what you have given us, Father, we just ask that you receive it in the spirit with which it is given. Father, may you take these offerings and use them to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and also around the world. Father, as we turn our attention to your word, we ask that our hearts and lives be transformed, that we may continue to be better and better reflections of your glory and your message to the world around us. Father, as the pastor, I simply ask that my words fall to the ground, and I ask that every word that is in line with yours will endure forever and change our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Okay, so I'm going to need some help because this is officially Superhero Sunday. Hey, there we are. We're going to have a little quiz to get things going. Now, there was one of the major superhero movies that was released. If you saw it, we went and saw it Friday night. You probably walked out going, what? If you haven't seen it, you'll understand. But we have a quiz here this morning. I'm going to need some help, especially from the young ones. So here's the question. I'm going to put up the picture of one of our modern-day superheroes, and I need to know, I need somebody to shout out, who is it? That's the easy part. What is one of their awesome key powers? What's their power? And the extra credit question, how did they get their power? Because that's part of every superhero story is here's this person, and then all of a sudden they're like zap fried by something, and then now they have this amazing superpower, which when I was a kid had me standing on top of things holding metal when lightning storms, hoping that, I'm just kidding, just hoping that I could get some superpowers too. But here's the quiz. Let's see how it is. So first one up, who is this? Spider-Man. There, I heard
some really deep-voiced children there. That was
fantastic. All right. What is one of his superpowers? The webs. Spidey senses. That makes crossing the road a lot easier. Now, here's the extra credit question. Who can tell me how did he get that superpower? Yes, sir. He was bit by a radioactive spider. So for all of us, if you're spraying around your homes this spring, just remember, you could be preventing Spider-Man. All right, thank you. Good job, guys. Okay, now number two, here we go. Who is it? Captain America. All right. What is one of his superpowers? His shield. Yes, sir, what is it? His shield. Yeah, that's part of his superpowers. What else? I heard, what do you got? Super strength? You betcha. How did he get his superpowers? Ooh, that one's a little trickier. From his suit? No, it's not from his suit. Yes, Mr. Bob. Oh, yeah, he was an experiment. He was injected with a super soldier serum. That's a whole lot of effeth, but yes, he was injected and he got, okay, so number three. Supergirl, there's the girls, they got it right away. Okay, what is one of her superpowers? Yes, ma'am. She is a flyer, yes. Now the trick part, it'd be the same for Superman because they came from the same place. How did she get her powers? Yeah, yes, Peanut. Yep, Supergirl and Superman, they had powers because they were from a different planet. When they got to our planet, the sun made them fly and stuff. So that does not mean we endorse lots of sun tanning, because if you don't have it, you're not going to get it. So, all right, next one. Who's this guy? The Hulk, yes, a well-balanced individual. What is his super strength? Yes, sir, what do you think? Punching, yes. Always a good super strength, superpower to have, the ability to punch things. Of course, if you've seen the movies, his thing is smash. That's his superpower. How did he get it? Gamma rays. I don't even know what those are, other than I think they happen in a microwave, but don't try it, because gamma rays. Okay, and the last one I have to put up there. Who's this? The Flash, yes. What is his superpower? Yes, sir. Super fast, you got it. How did he get his superpower? Yes, ma'am, in the cool Chicago sweatshirt. Go ahead. He was struck by lightning. That would probably make me run faster, too, I would think. So, very cool. So, we enjoy superheroes, don't we? I mean, they've made billions of dollars literally making movies out of these guys. They're fun stories to tell. And I love all the superhero stories because there's always this point where they start out like a normal person, something happens, and then, of course, they have these superpowers. Now, for the kids, I got to tell you this. Did you guys know that sometimes as Christians, we get superpowers? Did you know that? We get superpowers. We call them something a little bit different. This is what we call them. We call them spiritual gifts. Now, last week, if you were with us, for everybody else, we were talking about worship, and that was kind of part one of a two-part message on worship. We're going to come back to worship next week, but we wanted to zoom in on spiritual gifts because we could have a little bit of fun with it, and we can draw some connections between superpowers and spiritual gifts. Now, are spiritual gifts going to make anybody fly? No. So what do we mean when we talk about spiritual gifts? What are they? If you want to take notes, by the way, in your bulletin there's a little note sheet. You're welcome, if you're able to write, you're welcome to jot some notes down with you, but some of these will be in there. But here's how we define what a spiritual gift is. Spiritual gifts are abilities that God gives people to do His work. So they may not be superpowers like being able to fly, but when we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives us these things called gifts that allow us to do His, you know, the work we're supposed to do for God. Now I want to invite you guys, if you have a Bible, you're welcome to join me in Luke chapter 22. Gospel of Luke chapter 22. And it's going to seem a little weird that we're using this story, because the story we're about to read part of actually comes from when Jesus was about to go to the cross, and we're going to meet one of Jesus' friends, a guy named Peter. And I just want to show you this story because this is kind of what happens. This is like the before. You know, we're talking about Spider-Man when he got bit by the spider. Before that, he was just kind of this nerdy high school kid who liked science and liked to take pictures. And then he got bit by the spider. And if we're talking about Captain America, he was kind of this weak dude. And then he got injected with a serum. And there's always the before. So this is kind of Peter before something happens. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 54. Okay? So it's going to start out, we're talking about Jesus, when it says, "Then seizing him," that's talking about Jesus, "they led him away to the house of the high priest, and then Peter followed at a distance." So we're talking about this guy named Peter here for just a minute. "But when they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them, and a servant girl saw him seated in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, 'This man was with him.'" So just so you know what that means, Jesus just got arrested. He was brought in to be put on trial, and Peter's kind of waiting outside, like wondering what's going to happen to his friend. You know, and so he's kind of sitting around a fire. There's some other people there. Peter's probably got a hood up, and he's kind of hiding a little bit. Then all of a sudden, one of the ladies that's sitting there said, "He was with Jesus. He's one of Jesus' buddies." And so Peter says this. Oops, my page flipped. My apologies. Peter says this, verse 57, "He denied it. 'Woman, I don't know him.'" So here we are in this moment where Peter is asked, he was accused of being one of Jesus' friends, and Peter said, "No, I don't know who this guy is. I have no idea who Jesus is." And he keeps doing it three different times. He actually says, "I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus." That's kind of a wimpy thing to do, isn't it? But I want you to flip some pages with me to the right if you got your Bible. We're going to flip some pages to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Because like all good superhero stories, it starts out where there's the person before, and then something happens, and then all of a sudden they can do something else that they couldn't do before. So Peter was kind of this wimpy, you know, high school kid. He gets bit by the radioactive spider. Now he can like stick to walls and jump and has a spider tingling sense thing. And all those superheroes kind of go through that story. Well, this is what happens to Peter. A little bit later, we read these words in Acts chapter 2. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues," that means other languages, "as the Spirit had enabled them." And so I'm going to skip a little bit because there's a little bit of discussion like what that meant. And then verse 13 some of the people who were hearing this, because there's a whole bunch of people there, and they're all listening, and they're hearing what the disciples are saying in their own language. And then verse 13 says, some made fun of them, saying they had too much wine. Then listen to this. Then Peter stood up with the 11, the rest of the disciples, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. So I'm bringing that up to you guys because we believe spiritual gifts are abilities that God gave his people to do his work. And what we see is we see Peter, who is super scared and terrified and saying he doesn't know who Jesus is. And then something happens where he receives the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And the first thing he can do, kind of his new superpower, is he is super brave. He starts standing up in front of a group of over 3,000 people and saying, "Let me tell you about Jesus." That's pretty cool. He wouldn't even tell one person about Jesus. Now he's standing up in front of 3,000 saying, "I got to tell you about him." And he starts talking and preaching and teaching, and over 3,000 people came to believe in Jesus because Peter got up and started talking. So, my friends, that's kind of an example of a spiritual gift. Peter was given the spiritual gift of preaching, and suddenly he could stand up and speak, and thousands of people responded. That's a pretty cool superpower, isn't it? We call that a spiritual gift. Now, in your notes, I put in there like this definition, the gifts, the gifts are the ability that God gives his people to do his work. And I wanted to put this in there just as a side point for everybody, especially since we got some little peeps here with us. Gifts don't depend on age. That's the second thing that's on your notes. And the reference I put there is Luke chapter 1. I'm not going to turn to it. I'm just going to tell you about it. But what happens is Luke chapter 1 is the story of how Jesus was born. But before Jesus was born, his cousin John was born. And so Mary shows up, and she's pregnant, and she's talking to her cousin, who is also pregnant. And then all of a sudden, we read that the baby John John was in his mom's belly. That John was filled with the Holy Spirit and did a backflip inside of his mom's tummy when Mary showed up with Jesus. So we know that even before someone is born, they can be filled with the Holy Spirit. How cool is that? So if you're here, if you're an older person, like older than like 12, which we all know is like super old, my kids are like, "You're 42. I was like, "I am not. I'm 41. That's way, way different. You know, whether you're young, whether you're old, you can be filled with a spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit can reach out and do something pretty cool. So that's awesome. So young ones, you're welcome to listen to this part. You might want to color for a while because adults, I got to tell you a couple of things because the reason that we're doing all this, the reason that we're talking about spiritual gifts, this is part of the series we're calling the Owner's Manual, which is kind of teaching how we as Evanston Avenue Baptists do church together. And so part of the reason we're talking about spiritual gifts is we want every person who is a part of Evanston Avenue Baptist to use their gifts, to know what they are, to use them to accomplish God's work that he's called you to do. But I also need to tell you, as we hang out with other Christians, there's a couple of different views about spiritual gifts, okay? So I want to give you four of them. There are four, there's space for them in your notes. I'm just going to talk about them for a brief minute, and then we'll move on to something else. But I just want you to know this, so as we interact with other Christians, some of our different church friends are going to hold slightly different views, okay? So there's four views of spiritual gifts. Here they are. I'll give them to you all at once. The first view is that some spiritual gifts, like speaking in tongues and healing and doing some of these kind of really exciting things, some people believe that those miraculous sign gifts have ceased. They've stopped. Okay? They would say things like speaking in tongues, prophecy, healing, those sorts of gifts, they don't happen anymore. There are good Christians who hold that view. And I mean that sincerely. Groups like Harvest Bible Chapel and Moody Bible Institute, I just was on their website this morning, both of those institutions are fantastic. I love both of those institutions, they teach the Bible well, but both of them would say on their website, we believe that these gifts don't really happen anymore. Other good Christians say they do. We're just not going to have them be a part of our worship. That's great. They believe that. They have their biblical reasons for that. And they just give a lot of grace and say, some Christians interpret this differently. We interpret it this way, so this is how we're going to do worship. So please hear me on that. We love those churches. We're not trying to, you know, this is not throwing stones at them at all. That's just an example of some good, solid Christians that believe a little different. That's awesome. There are some groups that believe that all spiritual gifts continue. So gifts like speaking in tongues and prophecy, that those are spiritual gifts that still continue through this day. We would be in that camp. The Converge Worldwide Baptist General Conference, we would believe generally as a movement that all spiritual gifts can still happen. But when they happen, we believe that we must do all spiritual gifts according to God's word. So if something shows up like speaking in tongues, we believe that there are some very specific passages like 1 Corinthians 14 that we would look at to say, is this okay or not? Typically, as you guys know, if you're here a lot, we don't usually have anyone who stands up and speaks in tongues, and that's okay. We have people in this congregation who can speak in tongues. They just don't do it here. They just pray alone in their private devotions to God. And 1 Corinthians 14 says that that's fine. So this would be, we would be number two. We believe that all gifts can still happen, but if they show up, we're going to test them according to God's word to make sure we're doing them right. Okay, that's fine. The third group we would call our charismatic friends. This would be folks like the Assemblies of God and other Pentecostal churches. Their view is going to be very similar to ours. We believe that all gifts can happen. My friends who are Assemblies of God would say all gifts should happen. It's not a huge difference. It really isn't. But my friends who are Assemblies of God, and I have some very dear friends and brothers that I love very, very much that are AG pastors, but they would say that in their worship, it should be expected that people will speak in tongues and offer words of prophecy. That's the only difference. They would still say if somebody is speaking in tongues and doing prophecy, it still has to be according to God's word. If someone says something or does something that God's word prohibits, they shut it down. But the only difference between two and three is we say they can happen according to God's word. The more charismatic churches would say they should happen according to God's word. Okay, that's the difference. So again, the AG churches we hang out with, we love them. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's great. This would be one point where their worship is going to look and feel a little different than our worship, and that's okay. We're worshiping here, they're worshiping there. Guess what? Can I tell you the honest truth? We're all still worshiping the same Jesus. Amen? The one, two, and three are basically just kind of an internal, inside baseball discussion. Because again, we love the people who say they've ceased. We love the people who are charismatic. We're kind of in the middle lane at number two. The fourth one I would call the crazy view of spiritual gifts. And this is where I would say we're not going to fellowship with churches that fit into this category. By this I mean, in the crazy spiritual gifts, there are some churches that think if someone stands up, for example, here in our worship, and has a word of prophecy, that we should listen to the prophecy of the person more than the word of God. And they would say that the experiences we're having are more important than God's word. That's why I think it's crazy, because you can get into some really weird stuff happening really quickly. We would say, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to hang out with those churches. We're going to let them and the Holy Spirit have wonderful conversations. But we're going to stick with, we're in the number two category. We love guys in the one and three, and that's kind of our approach to spiritual gifts. So I know some of you are going, I really don't care. Thanks for sharing. But for those of us that are, as we fellowship with other churches, this is one of the areas where good Christians can land in different places. And so this is how we're going to draw some of those distinctions. One, two, and three, the common ground is those positions still have the Holy Scriptures as the authority for behavior. The fourth one just says, do whatever. So that's why we're not going to go that route. Everybody cool with that? Okay, excellent. Then let's dig in because we need to talk a little bit more about spiritual gifts. So I want you to turn over to our primary passage for today. And I know everyone just started looking at the clock going, we got food downstairs, dude. I know. Fear not. We will get there. I believe I have six things that I want to pull out of this passage. We're going to go through it fairly quickly. And so feel free to jot them down. Feel free to do some additional digging on your own. Spiritual gifts is a fun topic. And it's what's even more fun to me is when people start using their gifts in some new and exciting ways. That's why we're teaching this, because we want you guys to be able to do this. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 4. I'm going to read a chunk, and then we're going to pull some truths out of it. All right, we read these words. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given a spirit through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge. By means of the same Spirit, to another faith. By the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing. By that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers. To another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these, if you want to, if you have your own Bible, if you want to underline, feel free, circle, underline the word all. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one as he determines. All right, let me stop there for just a second as we start pulling out some of this truth. So here's kind of the first principle of spiritual gifts that we would hold. The first one would be this. We believe, as I said before, that the gifts all continue today. There's lots of reasons why we would hold that position, but in this passage, we would put verse 4 kind of at the top of that pile where it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And the lists of the gifts that we see are all examples of that Spirit at work. And so our belief is this. God the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen? So the same Spirit can, if he so chooses, give whatever gift he wants to anybody. So that's why we would say that all the gifts continue today. There's more reasons than just this verse, but this verse is just an example of that. If you want to get into a deeper discussion about that, I would love to have that conversation with you. But we'll just say for now that all of the gifts can continue today. Why don't we see all the gifts in all the places? That's a good question. But for right now, our belief is just that they all can still happen whenever God sees fit to make them happen. Number two, we believe, according to verses 5 and 6, that all gifts reflect God. And so that's where you read in verses 5 and 6, that there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, different kind of workings, but the same God. We believe in a triune God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Does that make any sense? No, it doesn't. Just being honest. Can I also tell you the truth? If you find a God who makes sense to you, chances are good he's not a God worth following. I want a God who's a little bigger and more complicated than I am, amen? Because if he makes sense to me, it's just not going to be that much fun to follow him, that's all I'm saying. But in that, we believe that we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each of them is fully and completely God, but each of them has a different role. We have God the Father, who's considered the creator and sustainer. And we have God the Son, who is the Savior and Redeemer. We have God the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter and the Advocate. And there's other things that they do. But we recognize within the Trinity that there is perfect unity and different kinds of functioning. So when we as a church, when we have different kinds of service, when we have different kind of gifts in operation, we can reflect that same unity of God. Because guess what? If we're all preachers, we're going to be here forever. I'm just saying. We're going to be here forever. We're all preachers. In the same way, if we are all gifts of service, we are going to have the cleanest, most sterile church from top to bottom, but no one will get around to preaching. We need all of the gifts in operation all the time, because when we do that, we reflect who God is. A unity in purpose, a diversity in roles. That's what we do when we reflect God. Number three, we do see that all of the gifts are diverse. In this passage alone, we have wisdom, knowledge, healing, miracles, miraculous powers, prophecy, determination of spirits. There's a little asterisk there. In your note sheet, I gave you a couple of the other passages where there's different spiritual gifts that are listed in different places in the New Testament. I'd encourage you to read them. Check them out. Because here's the thing, there's more gifts than this. None of the, at least as I understand Scripture, none of these lists, even the three that I've given, are meant to be the whole, you know, caboodle. And here's how I know this. If you go to Exodus and read through the building of the tabernacle, you read something very interesting. Two people are called out by name where God says, this person and this person, God says, I have given them my spirit to work with metal and to work with wood. So who knew? And I know this is going to like ring somebody's bell in an awesome way. There's a spiritual gift of arts and crafts. All the needle pointers like, yes! It's like, it can be. I don't think we have the completed list of spiritual gifts. God can give you any ability that he so chooses so that you can accomplish his work. The lists that we see in Scripture are some of the most common ones that he produces in the church so that we can do his work. Okay? So there's a diversity of gifts. All right, let me keep reading for right now. If you want to jump back into the text, we're at verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of different parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Jesus. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We were all given one Spirit to drink. And the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So there's a couple of other truths that we would want to pull out of this. Number four, we would recognize, oh, sorry, verse 11, that all the gifts come from God. Okay? Verse 11 would say that they are all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. So the gifts come from God. Number five, we would believe that the gifts are given to build up the church. And that's important. In verse 7, we read that to each one of us is given a manifestation of the Spirit. That means if you're here, if you believe in Jesus, God has already given you one gift at least, probably more. And we can read in verses 12 and 14 that we are all brought into this to build up one body, that is the church. And that's important, my friends, because no one has been given a spiritual gift so we can stand up and say, look at how awesome my spiritual gift is. That's building me up. Part of what's been really fun in this study is to hear how many of us as members and attenders of Evanston speak in tongues. And I love that that's never happened here in worship. And just knowing the fact that there are people who in their own private prayer life can speak in tongues means that no one is flaunting that spiritual gift for their own benefit. To me, that says I'm using my gift to build up my faith, to build up my church, and I'm doing so without any trumpet, without any fanfare. And yes, that is tough for those of us like Darren and myself and others who teach, because you guys get to see me using my gift a lot. And the moment that it ever becomes about Matt, please fire me. Me using the gift of teaching is meant to be here to help build all of us up. The gifts that we are given are meant to build up the church. They are not meant to build you up. They're not meant to build me up. They're not meant to build up Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. All spiritual gifts are meant to build up the church. There's only one, my friends, the Church of Jesus Christ. We are a part of that. Okay. All right, let's keep going. What we got? Number six. Well, this is a fun one. Okay, let's read the rest. And I love this discussion because Paul starts using some examples. He's talking about, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not cease to be part of the body. And what I want to encourage you to do is, in the rest of this section, Paul kind of builds on this example where he says, if our body was made up of one part, that would be really silly. I mean, amen? If all we had was a hand, we're not going anywhere. Some of our wives might say, we're pretty sure that our husbands don't have any ears. To which we say, what? But again, the whole idea of this metaphor is that we are all meant in our own unique and diverse way to build up one body and to promote unity in the church. That is the whole point of the rest of this section. Would say, whatever your gift is, whatever you've been given, whatever you've been called to do, do it so that the body of Christ here at Evanston and around the world can be built up and encouraged. That's why we do what we do. Now, I want to give you guys some next steps to follow, okay? I always try to do that. Last week for worship and prayer, I gave you the next step that this week, Thursday, the 3rd, is the National Day of Prayer. So I want to reemphasize last week's step. I encourage you, I challenge you, I expect some more of us. Please participate in National Day of Prayer stuff. We will be gathering with other Christians. Going back to spiritual gifts, we'll have Pentecostals there, we'll have cessationists there, we'll be there. We will all stand united together in Christ, speaking about promoting unity in the church, in prayer for our country. There's a prayer breakfast Thursday morning. It's at some awful hour, like 6:45 a.m. out at Maranatha. There's 4 people at my table, including me. I'm buying tickets tomorrow. If you want me to grab you a ticket, talk to me right after the service so I can get you one. That one's $8 to get in because they're feeding us. There's a prayer gathering just down the street here at Muskegon Christian that will be for the Sheldon Park and Oakview neighborhoods where we are. And there's also a worship gathering on Thursday night at Living Word Church at 7. The details are in your bulletins. I believe there's a handout as well. Please be at these. If you can't be at all of them, I understand. That's why we have 3. But I would love to see more of Evanston Avenue Baptist there. That was the next step from last week. Here's the next step for this week, okay? I want to give you a tool that you can, if you haven't done so, you can begin to find out how you're gifted by the Holy Spirit. Now, all of these tests, I've done a bunch of them. Sometimes they're helpful, sometimes they're not. They never have all the gifts. This one doesn't have all the gifts. They can't because there's no limit to the number of gifts. But it is a helpful way to start, and it's free. I took it the other day just to see how it works. It's pretty handy. You go online to freeshapetest.com. It's in your notes if you want to do it. You can fill it out. You can do the whole test. It takes about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, depending on how fast you can read and click. It's all online. At the bottom, you enter in your email address, and it will send you the results. But I want to encourage you to do this. You can also put in, there's a spot for your email. There's also a spot for the church's email, office@evanstonavenuebaptist.com. Again, that's on your note sheet. I would just invite you, if you do the shape test, to send it to us. Not that we're going to like, hey, you said you'd do this, now here you go. But we just want to know how we can help come alongside you to help you develop your spiritual gifts and find new ways of serving. That's what we would love to do. So if you want to do that part, send us a copy as well at office@evanstonavenuebaptist.com. If you just want to find out for your own benefit, freeshapetest.com. I invite you to do that. And by the way, it can be for all ages. As long as you're able to read and understand, you can do this. It's not too heavy or complicated. All right. Let me pray. We're going to worship, and then we're going to fellowship. We're going to have some food together afterwards. But let's pray. Father, we love that you have called us and equipped us with spiritual gifts to accomplish the work that you've called us to do. Father, we thank you and praise you for the abilities that come from you. Lord, may we be faithful stewards of those gifts. May we use them to glorify your name and to build up your people and your church, Father. And we just pray that we can be a church that just sees more and more people identify their gifts and begin to serve in a mighty and powerful way. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, why don't you stand up and we can worship together and we can just celebrate that God never ever lets go of us. Amen? Let's stand and worship together. Oh, can I have just a moment? Here is my request. I love you guys. I do. Truly, from the bottom of my heart. Do you trust me? Okay. Maybe. You're on the list, buddy. Okay. If you trust me, please hear me. We have enough food. Okay? You don't need to go get in line now. Let's worship together. Amen? There will be enough food. I promise. God's worth a couple minutes, right? Yes! Great! Let's worship together. Thank you.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil. Heart that holds on, a glorious life beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these struggles. Well, until that day comes, we'll live to know you're here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me.
Let's go. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to get a little unorthodox. If I have any kids who are brave and want to come towards the front, we're going to sing Jesus is my superhero and I need some helpers. So if anybody's brave and wants to come this way, otherwise I need the kids to at least stand up and sing with me. Okay? And my voice is totally going thanks to a second grade cold going around the classroom I work in. So if I don't hug you this morning, I don't want to share my cold with you. But Jesus is our superhero because, one, he doesn't let go, right? He's always with us. He's always there to help us. And we can count on him. So we're going to have a little bit of fun, okay? And I need some help with the superhero actions. Okay? So here we go. You ready? Hi, come on! So come on up, guys. Here we go. Ready?
He's the one who makes the sun shine. He's the one who put the moon in the sky. He's the one who hung the stars one by one. He's the one who makes the birds sing. He's the one who makes your dreams so high. He's the one who makes me smile. Day by day, Jesus, you're my superhero. You're my star, you're my best friend. Jesus, you're my superhero. You're my star, you're my best friend. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. He's the one. Okay, I'm going to come over here and use my hands. Ready? 2, 3, 4.
He's the one who makes the sun shine. He's the one who puts the moon in the sky. He's the one who hung the stars one by one. He's the one who makes the birds sing. He's the one who makes your dreams so high. He's the one who makes me smile. Day by day, Jesus, you're my superhero. You're my star, you're my best friend. Jesus, you're my superhero. You're my star, you're my best friend. Yeah, 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 yeah. Better than Spider-Man. Wonder Woman!
Thank you, guys. You guys did so good. Give me five. Come on now. Give me five. There. Ow. Okay, we got some serious superheroes here. Thank you, my dear. Very good. All right, my friends. We have some great kids. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Before we head downstairs, let me send you out. Oops. Okay, one of the bigger kids. Let me send you out with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful unto you. And in all things, may he give you peace. Amen. My friends, we'll pray for the meal downstairs. If there's anything I can pray with you about, talk with you about, if you have any questions, we'd love to chat with you for a little bit before dinner. But in the meantime, we'll see you downstairs for a great time of fellowship. God bless.